how would you like to invest in rare earth metals? Louis O'Connor will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Louis is that he is a property investor and he has discovered an amazing opportunity for you to profit off investing in rare earth metals. And he'll tell us all about it today. So Louis, tell us more.
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Thank you, Lily. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. So I suppose the first thing I would say is, you know, I mean, I'm in Europe at the moment, but I lived in Europe, different places, and Latin America. And we always live, I think, in an age where there's new opportunities, like what's the next thing coming? And the rare earths is why, you know, is where our focus is at the moment. And the reason is we're pivoting from oil and gas to metals. These specific metals we're going to talk about today, they're rare earths, are the backbone of manufacturing, like technology, defense, artificial intelligence, energy transition. But until very recently, private investors did not have any access to them. Now, sure, you can invest in a mine, maybe, that may be producing them. But we're the first company, the only company in the world that offers private investors the opportunity to physically own these metals that are hugely in demand by, you know, not only nation states, but by corporations as well.
Thank you. Tell us about what specific rare earth metals are you talking about? And why is this a good opportunity for investors right now?
Okay. So we're talking about gallium, germanium, indium, rhenium, terbium, dysprosium, to name just a few. What makes them very strategic and relevant as physical assets? So first of all, Lily, I suppose I'll try and paint a proper picture, is the US, using the US as an example, the US Geological Survey, and it lists about 45 metals that are strategic to America's economic prosperity and also military capabilities. Now, we sell all of those 45 metals to industry buyers, to manufacturers. But there's about 8 or 10, a little subdivision of those that are really relevant to private investors that are going up in value considerably. And what makes those 8 or 10 relevant are, one, they're the most in demand. For example, artificial intelligence runs on data, but it relies on rare earths to power for magnets and sensors to power the data centers. So which ones are the most in demand? Which are the least produced? Where is there a sort of a supply concentration risk? Like China has a sort of an unrivaled dominance in this market. The US is negotiating with them as we speak in Geneva because China is restricting them. That's why they're going up in value. And then the last sort of characteristic that determines why they make a good asset is which ones have the most applications? Which ones are, you know, maybe used in modern technology, aviation, defense, energy transition, etc., etc. So that's the four characteristics that make them relevant as physical assets.
Thank you. Versus property investment, why is investing in rare earth metals a good opportunity?
Good question. So look, for me, first and foremost, it's always property. I would always pick property first. I mean, my first major investment in my early 20s was property in Ireland, where I'm originally from, but then since then in Germany, in Panama, in Colombia. So my first choice is always property. However, one needs some diversification. I think one should also, to make it interesting, look at what's coming. Like I like to look, in fact, it's very relative. When I look at property as well, I look at what we call the path of progress, which is I look at a neighborhood or a city or a country and what's happened there in the last 10 years to try and give me an idea what might happen in the next 10. So I look for the same thing with businesses as well, which is what technologies are maybe fading out and which ones are coming in? What's going to be substituted? Where will the demand be? You know, for example, for five years ago, I would say it was energy transition, electric cars, solar, wind, what metals are needed there? And that happened to be true. Now, though, it's shifting. It's defense. Europe is going to spend something like $90 billion on arms in the next 5 years. The U.S. is supplying arms to Israel, to Ukraine. So defense metals. What's the next big technology? Artificial intelligence and probably automation manufacturing. So what I try to look at is upstream. Like if you go, for example, instead of investing, as investing maybe in property and maybe in Tesla, why not invest in the raw materials that Tesla need for the cars, or the raw materials NASA need for their rockets, or you know, what will Apple need in the next generation smartphones? So when you invest in these upstream raw materials, you know, right at the source when they come out of the mine, then you actually own the raw materials that ultimately will become trillions of dollars in downstream GDP. And they have multiple applications, multiple diversifications. So yeah, it's a win-win. People are making money buying the... It's good to own gold and silver as well, but these are more intrinsic and they actually perform better.
Thank you. Tell us what kind of ratios of return can someone expect for investing in rare earth metals, and how long will it take for them to hold that particular metal in order to see a return?
Okay, so what I'll give you first of all, Lily, is the historical prices and values, because on average, let's say for the last 5 years, these metals are on the average going up maybe 34% a year. However, there's some, like terbium, which is needed in semiconductors for computers, went up 500% in a 3 year period. Hafnium, which is needed, it's a super alloy in jet engines, in rods for nuclear reactors, and also for space, for rocket engines. That was up 250% in 18 months. So these raw materials have what we call scarcity-driven price increases, and that's when investors can really, really profit. And so we school our clients, we get them into, so we get them very well informed, first of all. And I can't predict the future, because it'd be wrong. I mean, nobody can tell the future. I can give some indications. Definitely defense metals, definitely technology metals. Defense, of course, or did I mention defense already? Energy transition. We're heading into this is what's probably important. I think any of your sort of successful audience members will know. We're heading into a commodity super cycle, and we haven't had one since the 1970s, when Japan and, well, the Far East, or I suppose the Near East and the Far East, industrialized during the 70s and the 80s. We had a massive sort of commodity super cycle. And we're now heading into that again, because we're pivoting from oil and gas to metals. You know, green energy, the raw materials for wind, for solar, for electric cars are the metals we sell. Will we still have oil and gas? Yes. But the green transition is going to continue as well. So if things continue, then clients can definitely look forward to, you know, good returns again. But it wouldn't be right to make a prediction, because who knows? Nobody can tell the future. But historically, for example, none of our private investors have lost money. If they hold the metals for a minimum of 3 years, we suggest minimum 3, even better 5, and why not hold for 10, and you'll see excellent returns.
Thank you. So the geopolitical scenery, you can say, has greatly impacted the rare earth metals, right? And your ability to get a really high return. Are there any other circumstances that you foresee could happen in the very near future that could drive up the price of rare earth metals?
Yeah, that's a very good point, Lily. And actually, you've really zoomed in on, like, the really hot topic at the moment is geopolitical. So These rare earths are the new frontline in geopolitical decisions. It used to be oil and gas. The president of the European Union recently said, people can Google this, that rare earths are fast becoming as important or even more important than oil and gas. So that's what the Europeans have to say. In the US, President Trump has made no bones about, I mean, he considers them so important, he was willing to leverage them to end the war in Ukraine. I mean, he's a businessman, he's transactional. He said to the Ukrainians, look, if you give us access to your rare earths, we'll be happy to help you out. Make no mistake, that's why Russia did it. The areas where Russia has taken is where the rare earths are. They're the new front line of geopolitical decisions. When President Trump talks about Greenland, he's not talking about the ice. He's talking about the resources below the surface, rare earths. So I suppose another way to describe it is we're heading into a period, we're going from sort of globalization to deglobalization. We're going into periods of resource nationalism. The U.S., Europe, we need to wean this dependence off China. Funny enough, despite the name, rare earths are not always that rare. Would you believe there's about 500,000 abandoned coal mines in the U.S. that have what we call mine tailings, that they can be recovered and separated and remetallized? But there's a lot of the technology involved doesn't exist really in the US, or the processing capabilities doesn't exist. So that's one big area. The one big demand driver for the next 5 or 10 years will be nation states, but also corporations. Apple, Siemens, BMW, Ford, all car manufacturers are going electric. So the drivers will be resource nationalism for defense. Another drivers will be modern, you know, technology as it improves, AI. But you can also get situations where there might be a new technology. Like one of them, for example, there's 12 rare earths in every smartphone. And you can scroll on your phone because of indium. Somebody might come up with a better metal or a better technology for scrolling. So that new one then would be more in demand. So I would say largely it's down to economics and national security that will drive the future.
Thank you. How long will it take for someone to, you can forget that question. What I wanted to ask you was, I don't know what I'm doing. I forgot my question. Okay.
I think were you going to ask me about how long maybe somebody should hold before they...
No, I remember now.
Okay.
How much should someone invest in rare metals? What is the minimum someone should invest in rare metals?
Gotcha.
And how does someone invest in rare metals? Like, what do they need to do?
Okay, so the minimum investment is $10,000 or 10,000 euro. We're European based. We have an office in Frankfurt, 45, 50 people, and we have a big distribution and logistics platform there where we store all the metals, and then we send them all over the world from there. So they're usually stored in Europe. And the minimum investment, 10,000. And then what was the second question? Oh, how do they do it? Yeah. So it's really exactly the same paradigm as buying gold or silver. You know, no different if somebody went online, they wanted to buy in store in Singapore or Delaware or wherever it might be. It's exactly the same. And they receive the, you know, certificate of ownership, safekeeping receipts, chain of custody, purity levels, all of that stuff.
Thank you. So someone doesn't actually, let's say if I buy 10,000 euro worth of rare metals, I'm not going to like hold it in my house. You have like a warehouse where you keep that for people that don't want to kind of keep it in their house, right?
Yeah. And also that's a good point, Lily, because we don't recommend you store them in your house. And the reason is if you take them out of what we call the chain of custody, they won't be resellable like Apple or BMW. They won't buy materials that have been out of the supply chain. So it's very, very important. Now we have it's a separate legal entity, but we have a storage facility it's 100% owner operated by us same people, but it's a recognized facility for these metals, for these industry metals. So yeah, we recommend 100% store them also in our facility in Frankfurt in order to keep them liquid. You know what I mean?
Yes. So what you recommend actually is, let's say, invest in your main investing arm, let's say property investing or something, and then diversify by investing in rare earth metals as a way to just like leverage your money, because you don't want to be like keeping all your money in one pot. That's the main idea, isn't it?
Exactly, Lee. That's exactly. And also, there's some unique characteristics that are different. For example, when you buy property, excellent investment, but not extremely liquid. You know, generally, if you decide to sell a property, you're looking, if things go really well, probably 90 days, right? If things don't go well, it could be a year, could be 2 years before you can liquidate. With the metals, they're extremely liquid. If one of our clients come to us today and wants to sell, we'll make an offer today. And they'll have, everything will be finished in 2 weeks. So they're extremely liquid. So if somebody's got metals and they've made money and, I don't know, a good property deal comes up in Portugal and they want to buy an apartment or something, they can just liquidate the metals like that. Whereas with property, it's a bit longer. So as I said, my first choice is always property. But it's nice to have another asset class that offers something property doesn't. And what the metals offer is extreme liquidity.
Thank you. In terms of choosing the rare earth metal to invest in, do you suggest that someone was to take, let's say, I don't know, 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 euro, let's say, and to invest it in, you know, a little bit in terbium, a little bit in germanium, and a little bit in the other stuff? Or is there a particular strategy to how you recommend someone to invest in terms of like, how do they choose the rare metal out of the potential, I don't know, hundreds or tens of metals that could be invested in order to make sure that someone could leverage the current geopolitical situation in a way that they can profit off these rare metals the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. So we inform our clients, we spend a bit of time, we recommend people stay in the information gathering mode, if you will, for a good period of time. We help them get educated. But some people actually know already, like they'd be familiar with, they might say, look, I want energy transition. Any metals that are involved in electric cars or wind power, I'm interested in those. AI, they know that's the next big thing coming. So any of the metals that are needed there. So a lot of people sort of have a little bit of a wish list, if you will. But generally, we try and educate people first. But out of, as you said, you're right, out of all the available metals you could invest in, there's maybe not hundreds, but there's definitely 45 or 50. We've already curated that down to 8 or 10 that are absolutely relevant as a physical asset. So we've sort of done the work already. We wouldn't offer it to a private investor if it wasn't a good physical asset to own. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Tell us about leveraging rare earth metals for AI. What are the kind of metals that can be leveraged for AI, and like in what use specifically?
So artificial intelligence runs on data. However, it relies on rare earths for the magnets, the sensors, the cooling systems, all the stuff that's needed to run the data center. These are the raw materials that are the backbone of AI. Without these raw materials, AI wouldn't exist. And similarly, computers, the screens we're using right now, without rare earths, we wouldn't have this modern technology. So, as I said, we're pivoting from oil and gas to metals. This is the future for now and for the next, well, depending, but the peak, the demand for certainly energy transition metals won't peak till maybe the 2040s. But technology metals won't peak at all. AI won't peak at all. So what it is basically is we're coming into a fourth industrial revolution. And these are the raw materials that will power that revolution.
Thank you. On a personal level, is there any particular rare earth metal that you like? And if yes, why do you recommend it for people to invest in it?
Ooh, good question. I think if you were to ask me for one, I would probably say gallium, because gallium has more applications than anyone I know. It's literally, you name it, you'll find gallium there. It also liquefies. It can be used in technology, in defense. It can be used in these new, what we're going to have, these new wearable medical devices like a paste. It's even now being considered for cancer treatment. So it's like an all-rounder. It's got unbelievable amount of applications. There's also a supply concentration risk because China produces 98% of the world's gallium. And at the moment, China is restricting the export of gallium to the US. So gallium's gone up about 50% a year. I mean, that's, for the last 5 years, that's pretty good returns, right? And the demand is high. So that's why I would pick gallium.
Thank you. For the rare earth metals from the Eastern Europe, is there any particular decision that you feel could lead to the price going up?
Yeah, well, interestingly, in Eastern Europe, for example, in Ukraine, for example, the geological surveys that exist are Soviet era. They're probably 40 years old, maybe longer. So it's hard to pinpoint exactly what's in there. And I would suggest to people to be very, very careful, because anytime there's something becomes popular in the narrative, people sometimes go overboard a bit in their enthusiasm, and, you know, FOMO creeps in very early, you know, fear of missing out. So, you know, not all, you know, not just because somebody mentions they might have deposits, it doesn't mean it's economically viable to go in and get them. For example, Ukraine, I mean, in order to get these rare earths, you need a lot of infrastructure for mining. You need a lot of energy. You need a lot of water. And the country itself, the infrastructure has been destroyed. So I wouldn't be looking at Ukraine, actually. I'd be looking at closer to home, you know. Or building partnerships with, you know, China, in fact, is the largest producer, but they also are the largest importer. So they have relations with Myanmar and with Laos, where they're buying ores and rare earths, you know, which is the opposite to what the U.S. administration is doing. The U.S. is sort of falling out, if you will, with their neighbors. China's courting and coveting their neighbors for the raw materials. So we will see the prices go up no matter what, because nobody would argue demand is not going to increase for space technology, energy transition, defense, modern technology, AI, medical devices, you name it, the demand is going to increase. Just the question is where you're getting them from.
Thank you. How can someone connect with you and find out more about investing in rare earth metals?
So my website is, or the website for private investors is strategicmetalsinvest.com. And if somebody wanted to email me direct and just mention Lily, my email is Louis, L-O-U-I-S, at strategicmetalsinvest.com. And we'll be very, very happy to look after them for you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.